Welcome to Speaking of Sex with the Pleasure Mechanics. I'm Charlotte.
I'm Chris.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics. And in this podcast, we offer expert advice and practical strategies so you can experience more sexual pleasure. We use explicit language and nothing is taboo. You can submit a question to be answered on future episodes by going to pleasuremechanics.com and hitting the Ask Us Anything button. Also at pleasuremechanics.com, you can check out our complete suite of online courses designed to help you become a better lover and have the amazing sex life you deserve.
On today's episode, we are talking sexual chemistry. So throw on your lab coats and get ready to explore the amazing world of sexual chemistry.
Wow.
Charlotte's going to get started by reading a question submitted by a listener.
Scott says, I'm in my very first big relationship and am new to sex in general. My girlfriend doesn't enjoy sex very much and keeps telling me that we just don't have sexual chemistry. What's your take on sexual chemistry? Is it a real thing or just an idea that she is using against me? I feel very insecure with my performance, but I actually think sex can be improved, which is, after all, why I found you and listened to this show. So I'm curious what you think, Scott.
Well, thank you for finding us. You are a wise man, and I think you have a lifetime of good sex ahead of you. Because you believe that it can be improved and are not willing to be bullied by your girlfriend.
I have to say, I think if anyone tells you that you think that they think you don't have good sexual chemistry, I think you should consider dumping them. Because that just means...
Way to dive right into it.
I mean, I'm sorry about it, but if somebody's telling you... I mean, then they are just saying, I am not feeling sexually attracted to you, is kind of what I feel
like. And I'm not willing to work on it.
Yeah, it's kind of a... That's a big blow.
Okay, but let's back up for a second. Sexual chemistry is something that our culture talks about a lot. And Hollywood kind of puts out there that when you have good chemistry with someone, then great sex just happens and you don't need to think about it and you don't need to work at it. And you'll just fall into the throes of passion and have great sex.
Forever.
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 What do you think about that?
Well, I would have to say from my personal experience, I feel like I've had some great sexual chemistry with a bunch of people that I could not stand outside of the bedroom. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Not can't stand, but you know, where there's just too much difference. There's too much, I just could never have a life with them.
So
sexual chemistry, I think, is a real thing. It is an actual tangible thing. And it doesn't make an incredible relationship necessarily. Of course, in a long-term relationship, you want to have sexual chemistry that you like, that you enjoy, that you feel excited about. But it's also not the only thing that keeps a long-term relationship going.
So if sexual chemistry is a real thing, a real force that's tangible, we can't quite map it as scientists. Our modern day science has not come up with a equation or a machine that you can go into and measure your sexual chemistry.
That'd be kind of awesome, though.
The sexual chemistry-o-mometer. But most people would say that they feel different chemistry with different people. And what I want to do is extend this outside of sexual chemistry and propose that there are actually different kinds of chemistry for different roles with people in our lives. So I think there's social chemistry, which determines great friendships. There's sexual chemistry, which is all about how you make love and how your bodies arouse one another and how you fit together in bed. And I think there's something about partnership chemistry, which is how you work together and do projects together and do life's logistics together. And what I would propose is that a good long-term relationship requires all three kinds of chemistry, social, sexual, and partnership, to create a lasting, harmonious relationship. Because in our modern world, we put all three of these roles together. Your partner is supposed to be your lifelong friend, a great lover, and someone you can run your life together with. But I think when we think about friendship chemistry, or what I'm calling social chemistry, then it becomes much more tangible that sexual chemistry is not an all or nothing bet.
Right. So when you're out in the world and you meet friends, there are some people that you just hit it off with immediately and you are just best friends after 2 minutes.
You feel like you've known them forever.
And it's just amazing. And there are other people that you really don't notice at all. And over time, you develop an amazing friendship. And they end up being some of the most important people in your life.
You grow to love them.
Yeah. And there are other people that you can't stand. And then you end up being really good friends. You know, there's these
And then there are people you can't stand and that never changes. Right? And you might have a lot in common with them, but just something about how the two of you interact is off.
It just doesn't quite work. It doesn't quite mesh.
And so just like in a laboratory, when we talk about chemistry, what we're talking about is when two things come together, a third product is created. And that's the relationship or the sexuality or the partnership. When you, as an entity, mix with other people, something new is generated. And what that something new is the product of the chemistry. And so that's really what we're talking about. And what we noticed, Charlotte and I, as previous sluts in a former lifetime, is that...
In this lifetime.
Let's be real. Every person you're with sexually brings out different parts of yourself and makes you feel different ways about sexuality and how you have different sexual experiences with each new partner. And there's no real better or worse. They're just different. Well, sometimes there's a better or worse. But there's not one that's the ultimate. There could be 10 ultimates or whatever. And the same is with friends. You have friends that you love confiding in and being really talkative with and slow with. And you have other friends that are great for adventure and going out in the world and having a really exciting time. And you might have other friends that really encourage you towards your goals and are really practical. And we understand this when it comes to friendship. We can have many different kinds of friends that we like doing different things with and bring out different parts of ourselves. But this is the same in sexuality and with sexual chemistry. And yet our culture, if you're monogamous, really asks you to choose one. And thus, the dilemma.
Right. And I think it's such an important point. It sounds like this is, you're new to sex in general, and this is like your first big relationship, you said, Scott. So maybe you are not, haven't yet experienced this really important point that different people bring out different facets of ourselves. Because this is such a fascinating point, I think, because we each have so many different parts of ourselves sexually. And one of the best ways to explore them and to get to know them is to be with several people, frankly. And then you really get to see that.
You notice that each sexual relationship is different. And so your girlfriend is saying, oh, we don't have sexual chemistry. And that might make you feel really insecure, like something is wrong with you. But really, it's just an excuse for her not enjoying sex and not wanting to improve it. And this brings us to another important point, is that different people bring out different parts of you, but ultimately you are responsible for your side of the chemistry equation. You are responsible for cultivating your own sexuality and getting to know yourself so you can bring yourself to relationships and show up as a sexual being. It's a lot like if you went to a cocktail party totally pissed off at the world and feeling angry and mean, you probably wouldn't make many new friends. And so if you show up to relationship after relationship totally shut down in your sexuality, you might think that you don't have good sexual chemistry with people, but really you're just not bringing yourself to the equation.
Yeah, it's sexual chemistry is something that is so malleable because each individual has their own sexual charge and their partner has a charge, and then your relationship has chemistry together, and that is really changeable depending on if you cultivate your own sexual energy, then you can bring more to the equation. And if you're in a really like sad, dark, depressed place, as humans get in moments, you're not going to be feeling your most sexual. And so there's going to be less sexual chemistry in that stage of your relationship. But it's a really malleable experience, and it's something that can change as you, if you want to cultivate more sexual chemistry with your partner, you can do that. You can choose to take on harnessing and cultivating your own sexuality and your own sexual energy, and that will really change the sexual chemistry of your partnership.
And part of this, to expand on this point, is your willingness to explore new parts of yourself sexually. So if someone is really locked into this identity around a certain kind of sexual expression, or thinks that there's only one way to be sexual with someone, and that part of them doesn't get sparked by the sexual chemistry of that relationship, it's really easy to see it as broken. But if you're willing to explore different facets and willing to be a dynamic force in your sexual relationship, then so many more possibilities open. And then you realize that not only do you have different sexual chemistry with each person, but that within one relationship, you can have different sexual chemistries over time, depending on what you both need in any given moment. And this is the magic for a long-term relationship, is when you realize that you can bring different energies into the equation, show up as different kinds of sexual people for one another. You can be tender and loving sometimes, rough and dominant others, and have different kinds of sexual chemistry with the same partner.
Yeah, that's where the magic happens, as you're saying. Really getting, if we get to know our own facets and what we most enjoy exploring and what we need, because sometimes the sexual energy that you need, that you really want and that you miss if you don't have it. And so being able to identify that and be brave enough to step into that and ask for that and take on something that feels scary and vulnerable perhaps in moments is important and is part of what will keep the kind of juice alive over time.
Right. If we're going to go with a chemistry metaphor, let's extend it here. There is the periodic table of elements, which is, I don't even know how many.
I can see it on the.
We all know that chart. The pleasure mechanics don't know how many are on there. But there is a fixed number of elements in this universe. Is it just Earth? Oh, God. I'm digging myself a hole here. But my point is, there are a fixed number of elements from which all of life is created, and we can see that diversity around us. And equally, if there's a fixed number of sexual components, of elements, of matter, when it comes to sexuality, there is an endless arrangement of those components to create an endless diversity of sexual expression, right? So there's not two or three ways of being sexual with someone. There is millions of ways, just like there are millions of expressions of life on this planet.
Wow.
Well, you think about it, right? Like a worm and a human being have more in common chemically than they do different, right? We're all carbon-based life forms, and we have carbon and oxygen and nitrogen and hydrogen. Other things.
I think we may be getting out of our realm of expertise.
My lab coat is feeling a little awkward right now. But I think I've made my point that chemistry as a force leads to endless diversity. It is not a fixed thing like a simple arithmetic equation.
Mm. So you're just saying there's a huge range of possibility and we can put them together how we like.
Yes, and every different chemical reaction creates something new. Mm-hmm. And there are endless ways of mixing and changing things. You know, chemists are very busybody people. They can do a lot of things in their lives. Wow.
But I think our point is that we each have our own sexual chemistry. How they go together is different.
Yes. And so not only is your sexual chemistry different with every person, it's different in every moment. And it is something you can bring your attention to and actively choose what you want to experience. And we talk about this a lot. The difference between fantasy and desire, the importance of exploring your fantasies in order to know your desires, the importance of asking for what you want in terms of erotic energy and erotic experiences. And so for someone to be in a relationship and the sex isn't satisfying, for them to just say, well, I guess we don't have good sexual chemistry, I think is a loser's response. It's a response that's not willing to take ownership of her sexuality or your sexual relationship and make it work. And if you're not willing to put attention or creativity into your sex life, and you're just going to throw your shoulders and be like, well, I guess we don't have good chemistry, I'll wait for the next guy that does, then I don't think you're ever going to have a fully fascinating and fulfilling sex life.
Well, and you just get to choose. If she feels like she doesn't have good sexual chemistry with you, then she should move on.
if she's not willing to work on it.
Well, because it's an excuse. It's there's no ownership of her own desire, and it's not like appreciating who you are. It's a very strange thing to say to somebody.
But we actually hear it quite often. We'll talk to people who are in long-term marriages who will say, he's the perfect husband in every way, but we don't have good sexual chemistry. Or, I used to be attracted to my wife, but it's really fizzled out and we just don't have that chemistry anymore. People use this as a way out when they feel like their sex life is not in the place they want it to, instead of bringing their attention to building the sex life they want to have. And that requires the work of looking at your relationship, your lifestyle, your stress levels, how you're treating one another, because all of these things affect your sexual chemistry. And we see things like if a wife treats her husband like a child and is constantly putting him down and talking to him like a five-year-old, he's probably not going to be feeling a whole lot of sexual chemistry with her. And equally, if he is behaving in the way that he needs to be treated like a child and not contributing to the household and taking her for granted, she's not going to be feeling very strong sexual chemistry either. And so sexual chemistry is not just about your pheromones that people want to sell you in the bottle. It's really about your entire lifestyle, your relationship to your own sexuality, and your relationship to one another. And looking at that as a holistic package and then choosing how to live in order to have the life and the sex life and the relationship you want, that requires attention and focus and putting a little work into your life to get what you want.
And I think in choosing a long-term relationship, you have to kind of make peace with what your relationship does have and what it really doesn't, and are there sections that you can grow and cultivate to kind of round out what you feel like you want. But ultimately, like, you're going to be in a relationship that brings out certain parts of you most naturally. And are you happy with that, who you are and what gets evoked in you in this relationship, knowing that probably one person is not going to be everything for you, but is this someone you can explore and adventure with and try new things? And do you like where you kind of naturally inhabit?
And together? Part of that is because of this equation where our modern times demands that your long-term relationship be your best friend, a great lover, and a great partner in your household together. And so there are some couples that run a kick-ass household where everything is working and the money's right and the house stays clean and everything's in tip-top shape and they're good friends, but they have no sexuality together. Other people are great in bed, have really hot sex, but everything is in a constant state of crisis. And there are other people who fight all the time, don't get along as friends, but are great co-parents together. And you have to kind of create this mix that works for you and what your life demands. Can your partner have good chemistry with you in these three realms in order to be a good long-term relationship? And if there's one area that's really struggling, you can bring more attention to it. But ultimately, yeah, you have to know your strengths and weaknesses, how you fit together, how you work together in order to make the most of it. But again, that requires knowing yourself, knowing your relationship, and being willing to be cognizant of these things so you can choose what to pay attention to, choose how to treat one another, and ultimately choose your own chemistry. I think a lot of this is quite dynamic, malleable, as you say. Like, we're not fixed creatures where it's like, well, I'm not good at paying the bills, so I guess I'll constantly be in financial crisis. You can choose to become more financially savvy and put systems in place that help you make that area of your life less chaotic. Equally, in the bedroom, if you're not feeling that spark that you want to, you don't have the sexual chemistry that you want to have with your partner, you can choose to activate it. And we provide tons of resources. That's what we're all about, is this create the sex life of your dreams idea that you are really in control of your own sex life and create the one you want to have. And we offer you the resources and the tools and the strategies to do that. And anyone who's listening to this podcast has already taken a step to learn more about sexuality and have these questions answered and discover new perspectives on sex. So you're not stuck with a sex life that you don't love and that isn't serving you.
Absolutely. But I think that we sort of need to retire this idea that sexual chemistry, as we see in the movies, is the be-all and end-all and the start and the end of a good sex life and a good relationship.
Either you have it or you don't.
Right. It's really damaging, actually, as an idea, because, as you said, it kind of takes away any motivation or idea that you can work on it and cultivate and create it. And it's something, if you feel like you don't have it and have no access to it, then there's no hope. And I think that that's not truthful. They're right. Just trying to sell us good movies.
Imagine if you were only friends with the people who you hit it off with right away, who felt like you've known forever. Those friends are very few and far between in life.
And they're incredibly valuable.
But and sometimes they fizzle out really quickly is the other thing. Like, you can really hit it off with someone, and then the more you get to know them, it's kind of like, ooh, didn't see that coming, and I'm less interested in you now. Whereas someone you might have not paid any attention to the first time you met them, you have this slow growing friendship that ends up becoming one of your lifelong friends. And so just like we have a diversity and a plurality of understanding how friendship chemistry works, we need to bring that into our sexual relationships and realize that it's something we have a lot of control over. It's something that can change over time. And there's no one right way to have sexual chemistry with people.
Right. I think we glorify this one particular kind, and I think we need to not do that. It doesn't serve anyone particularly. Culturally, we sometimes talk about passion as being like fire, and it's really quick, and then it burns out. And I know that I've experienced that with people with sexual chemistry. There are some people that you do have incredible sexual chemistry with, and then it's ignited, and then it's done. And I think that that is one element. It's really different in a long-term relationship where you want to keep that going over time. It's a really different kind of chemistry. So,
but it is possible to have fire with someone over decades.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yes. I think we also just need to see sexual chemistry and the presence of intense sexual chemistry as just that, the presence of intense sexual chemistry. It doesn't necessarily mean that this is the person for you for life.
Nor does the absence of intense sexual chemistry mean that you can't have a great, fulfilling relationship with someone.
With great sex.
Right.
Over a lifetime. Absolutely.
So, now that we have our lab coats on.
Are you sexualizing the lab coat?
I think it's a pretty sexy role, personally. But I think what's interesting about chemistry and chemists and scientists is that they take tools and they take things that exist in the natural world, and they are alchemists. They make other things exist. They call forth new creations out of what exists. And we can all be sexual chemists by looking inside of us and discovering what already exists, by dreaming up our desires and what we want to experience, and then activating different kinds of chemistry with our lovers in order to have the experiences we want to have. We can create the sex life of our dreams. And that is what we are all about here at Pleasure Mechanics. We're so glad you found us, Scott, and everyone else listening. Let us know what we can do for you so you can experience the sexual chemistry you want to experience.
Amen. So we wish you all the best on your adventure. Whatever you choose to do with your girlfriend, I hope that it goes well, but know that you have power over your own sexual chemistry internally and in a relationship. And I hope that you find a partner or cultivate with this partner the idea that it is something that you guys can cultivate together.
And for more resources on creating the sex life of your dreams, come on over to pleasuremechanics.com, where you will find our complete suite of online courses, a complete archive of every podcast we've ever done, where you can listen to more conversations about elements of creating a fulfilling sex life. And of course, ask us anything. We welcome your questions for future episodes of this podcast, or if there's any way we can help you out in having a fantastic sex life, We are here for you every step of the way. As you know, on this podcast, we have no sponsors and no advertisements, so we can keep it intimate with you, our beloved listeners. And so if you like what we're doing, help us out. Come on over to pleasuremechanics.com, explore our online courses, and support our vision of making this world a sexier place, starting in your bedroom. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics.
Wishing you a lifetime of pleasure.
Cheers. Cheers.